Okay, tonight we are going to look at a characteristic called moral excellence. And I haven't been about this for a while. Moral excellence came out of the New King James Version of 2 Peter, chapter 1. And in that, hold on a second, in that verse 5, he goes on to say, now for this very reason, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. So with that, what is moral excellence? I'd like to take a shot at that.
Virtue.
Virtue.
Integrity and modesty.
Uh-huh.
I have several others, but I love other people.
Anybody else?
You're concerned with what is right and wrong.
Right, very good.
Hold on, Wikipedia too.
Anybody else would like to add to that? Actually, Dandy.
Strong says it comes from the same word where we get manliness in some secular work.
Very good. Well, I put down, kick this machine and move. Moral excellence refers to striving for high ethical standards and righteousness, reflecting God's character in one's life. I go on to say it involves consistently living a virtuous life, characterized by virtues like love, joy, peace, and self-control. And also, it encompasses strength, energy, and courageous tone of mind. I got that from looking at some other translations. I went to the New King James Version, and they use virtue as I mean him mentioned. Also, the CEV shares with us that word moral excellence as goodness. And also the New King James uses the word goodness. I looked at two different interlinear books that I use, and it's the Greek translation into English, and the word is, I can't say it, is a petno, which translates to excellence of character. And another interlinear that I like to go to translates that word virtue. So when you put all these things together, and as people look at moral excellence, it encompasses quite a bit of the fruits of the Spirit. They're all involved in this. For example, the key aspects of moral excellence, virtue. And what is virtue?
Striving to do what God says.
Doing what God said, yeah. Faith.
Qualities or behaviors that align with God's character.
Okay, very good. It's often seen synonymous with virtue, which is a character trait that is considered good and desirable. That's what Christians should be striving for in their lives. Moral excellence, virtue, and applying the fruit of the Spirit to your everyday life. Bill and then Bob.
Defining moral requires defining these other words as well, which tells me they should all be part of one single thing.
Right.
And, you know, to me, I mean, I've read God's Word since I was a teenager. And to me, what it teaches in here is virtue and morality and good conscience and faith. And it's inseparable from a Christian character.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They all have to be there.
It's all intertwined. Very good point. Bob?
Well, to get started, I got my definition from Wikipedia.
Okay.
And it said the quality of doing what is right and avoiding what is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that made a lot of sense to me, putting both sides of it in there. And an interesting note also that I saw in there was that moral excellence is the highest level of Islam.
Oh, very good point.
Yeah.
I never considered that.
I have neither.
And you're right. It involves goodness in your life. And applying that, not just saying the words, but actually putting it to action. Another aspect is a high ethical standards. As Bill had mentioned, a moral character has to be above reproach. It involves consistently behaving in ways that align with moral principles and values. And how do we get that? How do we accomplish that as a Christian in our lives?
By putting God first and thinking of His.
Exactly. Put God first at all times. Very good point. And that's the way we as Christians should do. Follow God's commandments. Dean, you had a comment?
Yeah, Peter says that this is a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
And it strikes me as more than just what I would want to do in terms of being a good moral person, doing good moral things. It's more than that.
Mm-hmm. And it involves action on your part.
And the only way you're going to get it is from God.
Absolutely. It's God's gift to all Christians. Another aspect of moral excellence is called righteousness. And what is righteousness?
The act of doing right.
The act of doing right?
Simple.
It's a quality of being morally right and just in all your dealings. Being fair, being consistent. For example, if I went to Kirsten's register and I give her a $20 bill and she gives me $30 back for a $10 item, what do I do?
Give her back 20.
I hope so. However, people don't see that. The world doesn't see that, but Christians do. In everything we do, we have to be just, we have to be fair, and we have to be righteous. Again, we look at moral excellence is a reflection of God's character. In some contexts, moral excellence is viewed as a reflection of God's character and standard to which believers are called to aspire. Again, how do we get that? Through osmosis?
No, just living it every day. I mean, practicing it.
Practicing every day, reading your Bible every day, studying your Bible every day, following God's commands.
But also not just doing it like half, you know, if you're tasked with a job or if you're volunteering for something, it should be wholehearted, right? You should put your whole effort into it.
You should do it 110%.
And not, you know, just because somebody's not watching,
mm-hmm.
you should still, you know, do what it is that you've been tasked to do, but do it better.
Exactly.
Not like, just because that reflects your
production. And that just falls into the next category, integrity and honesty. It's how we deal with people, how we display our Christian virtues to others. And those integrity and honesty are key components of moral excellence. They involve being true to oneself and others and act with integrity. Show your colors.
Yeah.
Stand for Jesus. Bill.
Paul. He thought he was living a life of good conscience for God. And in an instant, it was turned completely on its head. He changed instantly
mm-hmm.
to becoming a full-fledged believer. He had to learn, but he was willing to suffer everything he had to suffer by changing what he believed.
And he did for God.
He did. And he had no regrets.
Mm-hmm. Very good point.
For most of us, unless we've grown up with a really very moral life, we need to make changes. And a lot of times that takes time. Like if we're used to using a lot of profanity, or smoking, or using drugs, that doesn't necessarily change overnight. And we have to work on it. And after a while, it becomes second nature, and we don't have to think about it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Good point. And the last aspect I have is a good moral character. How do you measure up as a Christian to the world? Are you part of the world? Or are you separate from the world? God gives us a plan, and that plan is to go out and be the best we can for Him, to the best of your ability. Sometimes we fall short and stumble. We sin. We all sin. But He has given us Jesus as a mediator for us. And good moral character represents an ideal state of a person's beliefs and values that are considered most beneficial to society. That's how society should view a Christian, by your actions, what you believe, by your virtues, what you practice. Practice love. We talk about love as a Christian characteristic. We will talk about self-control later on. Patience. And they're all intertwined together. And that's something that we as Christians should have this moral compass in ourselves so that we are on the right track to please God to the best of our ability. So what verses do you have that will reflect moral excellence? Go ahead, Carol.
Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Very good. Anybody else?
I had Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I feel like your moral excellence needs His strength and through Him, that's what you're trying to show, is your moral excellence through Him. When people see it, it makes people want to know what's going on.
Paul's letter to the Philippians is an excellent example on how a moral person, a person, Christian, should be living with their moral excellence. Anybody on Zoom like to chime in? Betty, you had a verse?
2 Peter 2:3-4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. So that goes like what Bob was saying. You do these and you escape the corruption of the world.
Mm-hmm. Very good scripture. Anybody else have one to share, Bob?
Yeah, I use 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. To this end also we pray for you always, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, in order that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Very good verse. Dean?
Yeah, I just had a thought. And I'm wondering whether or not a moral lapse causes us to, or causes God to view us as not being morally excellent. I think this is it may be a kind of a spirit that we imbibe, and I don't think that a lie, for instance, means that we are not morally excellent.
Mm-hmm. But that lie will keep us separate from God until we correct it. Very good observation. I put down this verse, Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. And Paul's writing, he said to the Colossians, but now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on a new self, who is being renewed to the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And that's God. He created us. And when we become a Christian, we put the old self on and put the new self on. And that's something that we have to work at daily in our lives. Another verse going to the Philippian letter, chapter 2, verse 15. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. So it's up to you and I as Christians to show people in the world what moral excellence is, what virtue is, what our integrity is, right?
It's not that we want to praise ourselves or whatever, but it's for the glory of God. In Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that, so what follows, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable, perfect. It's to his glory that you act this way, that you change.
Very good. It's to God's glory that we live this life, not to please ourselves or others, to show we are pleasing God. Carol.
The first I had for excellence was magnificence, which that which is becoming the great man. In 2 Peter 1:17, for when he received honors and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made by him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Mm-hmm. So if we do anything that's anywhere on that path, we bring honor and glory to God.
Exactly. And that's why we're here. Worship God, to glorify him in everything we do. Whether it be we go out in the world and play a sports activity, we are glorifying God. That's our attitude. So with that, let's provide an example of someone who exhibited moral excellence in the Old Testament.
Well, I left my work at home again, but I know I put Joseph down here because he definitely, in his dealings with Potiphar, in his control of his, land, property, and everything, he was definitely had moral excellence. And then he also shunned Potiphar's wife when she tried to entice him. So
he's an excellent example of what moral excellence and character is. Andrew?
Daniel? When law was put in place that you will not worship anything but the king, that didn't stop him. And even when he was thrown into the lion's den, you can see with keeping his morals in place, what it got for him, it saved him. And, the king even saying this, when they opened it up and saw that he was fine, knew that he messed up, and that what Daniel was doing was right. So,
exactly. In fact, Daniel is another person that we could turn to and point out he has moral excellence. He wouldn't compromise his relationship with his God. And Jehovah knew that. And no matter what was thrown in front of Daniel, he still was not bent by worshiping God.
I chose Ruth because she was such a virtuous woman, and we've probably already studied her anyway, but all the things that she did, she was definitely a moral excellence.
Mm-hmm. Good. Carol,
chapter 3.
Eileen, anything?
Di took Joseph, so I'll just read you my quote that I had from the Old Testament. Proverbs 27, the righteous lead blameless lives. Blessed are their children after them.
Mm, very good. Well, Eileen?
I chose several, but Proverbs 31, the virtuous wife.
Oh, okay, virtuous woman.
I had that too. That's the second one I had.
Faith, sorry.
I have proof that Ruth was. And I found it. I was surprised. There's a verse where after Boaz finds Ruth at the meat, he's talking to her. And he said, now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask. For all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence.
Very good. That's something that we as Christians should emulate in our lives. The way Ruth handled herself and way Boaz saw what was in Ruth. Bill?
I thought of Boaz as well, and I decided to go with Mordecai. He not only took over the raising of Esther and cared for her very well and virtuously, but he looked out for his people first. He served God. But he also watched out for the emperor and his welfare. He was just what you and I would call an everyday man, and he became second to the king because of, like Joseph.
He was rewarded for
the way he lived his life.
Excellence, right? And that's what I put down. Go ahead, Andrew.
I was also pulling again from Daniel of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Their
moral excellence. They, just like Daniel, refused to serve anything else but the Lord. And they were thrown into the furnace, and when they opened it up, they were still standing in there alive. And it just shows you that, you know.
Yeah, that story's amazing to me. Because they put God first, no matter what the cost, which is an excellent example for us. We have to put God first in our lives, no matter what the cost. It could cost you your job, cost you your friends. I remember I was in a meeting, and there must have been about 50 different agencies represented at this meeting. And the guy who was in charge of the meeting started cursing, and I walked out.
Yeah.
And I said, till you clean up your act and be professional, I don't want to deal with you. He said, you have to deal. I said, no, I don't. I said, I represent a big company, and I can put the halt on this particular project unless you clean your act together. And he eventually did. That's the way a Christian should act at all times, no matter what the cost. So Mordecai took his cousin in, adopted her as his own daughter, and there was a plot to kill the king. Two of his servants were going to assassinate him. And Mordecai's diligence, the plot was terminated. He told the king. Again, Mordecai exposed Haman's plot to kill all the Jews. He told Queen Esther the scheme, and it reversed. It spared the Jews' life. All in the book of Esther. And Mordecai's excellence, moral excellence, was rewarded as he was made the king's advisor, just like Joseph. There are many different characters in the Old Testament that display moral excellence or goodness, virtuous lives we should follow. How about the New Testament? Who in the New Testament we could point to as someone being of moral excellence?
Stephen.
Stephen, and what did he do?
He was filled with the Spirit. He served his people. He seemed to live his life to serve his God and to do what was the right thing, no matter what.
Go ahead, Kirsten.
I had that Mary, the mother of Jesus, her willingness to accept God's will and accepting that challenging role with grace.
Exactly. That's a very good example.
I mean, you could say her cousin Elizabeth was the same way. I mean, towards the end. She wasn't at first. She was kind of not sure, but there was something there that God knew that she could handle.
And when Mary went to tell Elizabeth about her pregnancy,
her baby jumped. Yeah,
exactly.
That's, yeah.
You know, you could just imagine these stories that we read in the Bible, and they are real people that display moral excellence in their lives.
And I had John the Baptist, because he's described as righteous and holy man who lived a life of self-denial and boldly proclaimed God's truth according to God's truth.
That's another person who has moral character. I wouldn't eat the bugs that he ate.
Yeah.
Oh, they're good.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I have Barnabas.
Barnabas is another.
He's described as a son of consolation. I don't know exactly what Barnabas did, but his character was outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Very good example. And, you know, you read these individual in not only in the Old Testament, but the New Testament, and they should be a guide for our lives, no matter what cost is. I had put down Paul.
Yeah, I had Paul too.
And the reason why I put down Paul, he has an unwavering commitment to Christ. No matter what the cost was, he would walk with God. Even when he was on his second missionary journey, he was traveling along down to Corinth. Jesus was with him.
I'd backtrack just a bit to the Old Testament. Samuel's mother, she begged God for a son.
Mm-hmm.
But gave him to God from the beginning. And she wanted that son so badly, but she was willing to let go of it.
Oh, absolutely. And God granted her wish. Carol?
Yeah, well, I had Lydia down. She was at the riverside without any organization telling her that she needed to worship God or gather to do stuff. She was already attentive to God's point of view without any other support. And as soon as she was told the word, she accepted it and was virtuous. And she also ran a business, so she had moral excellence in the business that she mm-hmm. ran too.
That's a very good point. And why was she at the river worshiping?
No synagogue.
Exactly. These are points that you pick up when you study. And it makes profound memory of what happened back in the day. And we live 2,000 years afterwards, and we still worshiping God. Anybody else have another example from the New Testament? What about Cornelius? What do we know about him?
He was a good man, and when he was told by all to obey the Lord, he did in his whole household.
Yeah, he gave
alms.
Pardon?
He gave alms to the
Jews.
To the Jews and the poor, and he was a virtuous, good man, and God blessed him by letting the Holy Spirit come down on him and his household.
Exactly. He sought out, God. Was instrumental in that, where he directed Peter to go. However, this Cornelius was a man who was seeking out God. And we run into a lot of people like that in the world today. Are you prepared to help them? Are you prepared to offer the gospel message to them? Something we have to not shy away from. And with Paul's letters, he consistently emphasized the importance of moral behavior, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Guess what? Those are all moral. Those are all Christian characteristics or Christian virtues that we as Christians should apply to our lives. All these things. And Paul was instrumental in sharing this information with the Christians back in the day. And it's written down for you and I to apply these things to our lives, to be morally excellent, seek out goodness, be a person of integrity. Anybody else have anything to add, or a person of the New Testament? Okay, the next question I have is, how do Christians reflect a Christ-like attitude through moral excellence?
First off, by practicing righteousness.
Practicing righteousness, okay.
Colossians 3, verse 2 says, set your minds on what's above and not on what is on the earth.
Very good scripture. Set your things on above, not dwell on these earthly things. Although we need the earthly things to survive, however, don't count on them. Make sure you focus on what God says. Anybody else?
They have our integrity, and just we always tell the kids to just stop, think, and then act. When you're up against something, you have a choice. You know, follow, do what you know,
mm-hmm.
show. I always like, that's not what I'm about. Kind of a thing. You know, I just stop thinking and acting before you do something. Is it going to, who's it going to reflect? You want it to reflect who you are. And inevitably, I guess that would be that we want to reflect what God's doing for us.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Babe?
Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
It's a very good verse. Bob, you have a comment?
Yeah, James chapter 3, verse 13, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in gentleness of wisdom. And if we step down to 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy.
Very good. When we look at a Christ-like attitude, who do you look at?
Right.
Look at Jesus. So we as Christians should develop or achieve moral excellence by focusing on cultivating humility in our lives. Be humble. Selfless love. We talked about love as the first characteristic or the first virtue we looked at. A selfless love. Put others first. Put you second. Christians should prioritize their lives. Put God first, your family second, in yourself there. And you will accomplish so much because people would look and say, wow, that's amazing. Show compassion. Look at Jesus when he was here. He was very compassionate to all people. Mirror Jesus' actions and teachings. This involves prioritizing others, serving them with a humble heart, and demonstrating forgiveness and understanding, just like Jesus did when he was here. He forgave those who were sinful. He tried to instruct them to live a godly life. That's what moral excellence is. Putting these virtues into practice. We see that humility, be humble, valuing others above yourself, and avoiding selfish ambition. Be humble. Jesus was humble. He accepted God's plan to die on the cross. He could have refused, but he knew that's what God expected as a sacrifice for sin. And he accepted that. Selfless love. Love others as yourself, demonstrating compassion and concern for their well-being. That's hard at times when people in the world are sinful, but yet show them compassion. Jesus did that. Emulate Jesus in your life. Service. Serve others, prioritizing their needs and demonstrating a willingness to help. Help others with what they need. If it means giving somebody a coat, do it. If you're able to. That's a Christ-like attitude. And we can continue. Forgiveness. Forgive others just as Jesus forgave us. And demonstrate understanding and compassion. How do you forgive someone? What would you do?
You just do it. You just. If they ask for your forgiveness, you just. You gotta do it. You just. It just should be second nature to you to do that.
As a Christian, it should be second nature. Absolutely, Andrew.
Yeah, you just, I mean, just like I said, you got to do it. It's like, it helps you with moving on from what happened. I mean, we talked about this a couple Sundays ago. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't excuse or make you forget what happened, but it's something that you got to do to help you move on and to help the healing process of whatever process that is. As Christians, we should do that. And I think Mark said something of, you know, you got to think about what if God didn't forgive us.
Follow God's example.
Yes.
I mean, you want
to. And you have to want to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the key.
It's easy to say to do it, but you really have to want to do it. You really want to. And in the back of your mind, it should always be, Jesus forgave me.
Andrew,
it comes from the heart. You can't just be like, oh, I forgive you, and just, no, it needs to come from the heart. It needs to be an actual, I forgive you for what you did, and it needs to be, it needs to come from within. It's not just a,
Exactly. It needs to come from your heart.
And another thing, I think we need to not keep bringing it up to the person or the person that wants, you know, don't keep bringing it up and, you know, well, you did this to me 5 years ago. So, you know. I mean, that's not.
Forgiveness.
Well, I know, but that's not forgiveness, but that's also not accepting the forgiveness from the person when you ask for.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
And God knows what's in your heart. So even if you say something and you don't mean it, God's going to
know. That's right. He's going to find you out. And the day of judgment, you'll be accountable for that. Good deeds and bad deeds. Very good point. Another thing is called compassion. That's an aspect of a Christ-like attitude. Feel and act with deep compassion for those in need, especially the vulnerable. When you raise your family up, the little ones, they don't know much till you teach them. They're very vulnerable. They look up to the parents and lead in such a way that your guideline is God's word. That's something we all have to follow. And then that's especially good for raising the family. Integrity. We talked about integrity. Live with honesty in your words and actions. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's hard to do. But yet, we as Christians should focus on this moral excellence in all life. Use those virtues that God had given us. And don't forget, He gave us the Holy Spirit to help us along our journey. Use God. Ask Him through prayer. We talked about prayer. Pray to God for guidance. Pray to God for wisdom. Pray to God to increase your moral excellence or virtues as a Christian. So you grow spiritually. You share with others what moral excellence is. Anybody else have anything to add to that question? Carol?
Yeah, well, I went at it from a little different angle. I go look for the correct answer before it's needed. When you have trouble with your, as I did have trouble with your temper, you try to catch yourself a little sooner and a little sooner, and you're looking for the way that you can pull yourself back and have moral excellence. But if you don't focus on changing that behavior, if you just say, oh, well, I'm sorry, I just say things like that, I don't mean them, but you did mean it. You did lose your cool, and you need to. One of the things I would catch myself doing was clenching my jaw the way my father did, you know, and I didn't like my father's temper. So, of course, that helped me, you know, catch myself earlier. So, you know, little things like the tone of voice or you know, you just things that you have to do, but you have to be ready for it. You can't just think that by asking for that he's just gonna say, okay, you're a fish. I mean, you know, you have to struggle and replace that bad habit with something that's excellent, and you have to have a plan to do it.
That's very true. You have to work at it. We have to work on our moral excellence. We have to strive to be Christ-like in everything we do. So with that, let's go to the last question. How do you grow in moral excellence and seek opportunities to demonstrate moral excellence to others? That's a mouthful. So how do you grow as a Christian in moral excellence?
Well, that was my answer for the last one. So. I was jumping ahead. Sorry.
I am actively pursuing God's character. And living out his moral standards in all aspects of your life.
Okay. Yeah. Andrew?
Yeah, it's kind of on the similar lines there. Just root yourself in God. Root yourself in. Have a firm foundation to build off of. And then, I mean, biggest thing is prayer. You know, talk to God. Ask him to help you be morally right. Help excel yourself in that area. You know, it's if it's a real weak point for you, then you for sure need to be praying to God about that. But yeah, just having that firm foundation and prayer.
That's very true. Communicate to God. Talk to him. Ask him for help. Very good point. Faith?
Hebrews 13, the whole chapter, gives a few ideas on how you could do that. Love the brethren. Don't neglect his hospitality. Remember the prisoners. Marriage is to be held in honor. Be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And your character is to be free from the love of money. So it's those are ways, practical ways, people will see. And then it could result. And so considering the result of your conduct, that Jesus Christ is the pattern.
Exactly. And that's who we should follow in our lives. Pattern our structure, our lives, according to Jesus's example and pattern. Focus on aligning your actions with your beliefs through consistent effort and seeking spiritual growth. Go to God in prayer and ask for wisdom. Study the Bible. And put into practice what you learn. When we attend services and we listen to a lesson, apply that lesson to your lives. Carol had a good point. Don't engage your mouth until you put your brain in gear. Make sure you know what you can do it first. And that's an excellent example of what James had shared with us in the book of James. So this involves studying scriptures, practicing the following virtues like kindness, honesty, striving for self-control, and godliness. That's what a Christian's moral character should encompass. How do you show somebody kindness? How do you deal honestly with people? How do you control yourself? Does your life reflect godliness? And demonstrating moral excellence to others, how would you do that?
We need to remember the second great commandment, love your neighbor as yourself.
Exactly. Show love to those individuals, to your neighbors. I see.
Yeah, I think the crux of moral excellence is how we behave ourselves when nobody's looking. So I don't make an effort to be morally excellent so I can impress my neighbor. I make an effort to be morally excellent because that's what God expects. And it's important for us to understand how much of what we do as Christians is not going to be seen by other people.
Exactly. When we help someone, don't brag about it. Just do it. When we do something in the building to make it nice or anything. Don't brag about it, just do it. And that's what Dean's point is. We do it, why? To give God the glory. And that's how your moral excellency is demonstrated. Develop a strong moral compass in your life. Seek knowledge and discernment. Act with integrity and courage, no matter what the situation you're in. Show that the world you are a Christian and you have the virtues, and God is on your side. And cultivate virtual habits in everything we do. Does anybody have anything else to add? Now, again, Kristen.
Oh, I read where our moral excellence is our most everyday form of ministry.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's even when someone's not looking. You show moral excellence because you're glorifying God. You're doing what he said. You're following, you're obeying his commandments in everything we do. Anybody else have a comment? Next week we're going to study something that's a really interesting topic called knowledge. And it should be a good study next week.